Welcome to the Dynasty Podcast. This is Snap Reactions, quarterback position through week five. I was just going through and I just have some sort of notes and some thoughts basically on kind of where we're at. Just some stats that I found pretty interesting in terms of maybe some changing landscape stuff, maybe some changing, are we changing some of our presumptions about these guys? I'm not sure, but let's see where we're at. Leaders in dropbacks, so just pure dropbacks to pass. Carson Wentz, number one, 241. Kyler Murray, 231. Josh Allen, 227. Matt Ryan, 221. Joe Burrow, 221. Matthew Stafford, 217. Brady, Mahomes, Herbert, Cousins, Carr, Goff after that. Okay, so sort of give you an idea. It's pretty close once you start getting into that, like the difference between Matt Ryan, who's at four, and Herbert, who is at nine, is like 11, right? So it's pretty flat in there, and you even go further down, like Cousins, like there's about a 17 dropback difference between like 4 and 12 basically. So it's not that steep there. It's really steep up at the top where Carson Wentz a lot more than 2, and then Murray and Allen pretty close together. I was just looking at some stuff in terms of points per dropback. So this is a stat that I've liked to sort of look at historically and get it, you know, get an idea. Again, it's early, so we're not going to go super predictive or anything like that. But I break this down into a couple of different ways. I just break it down to regular points per dropback, and then I do passing points per dropback, right? So that gives, I think, a little bit better of an indicator just about how the player's doing as a passer. So Tua's number one as a passer. Mahomes number two as just dropback points per game as a passer. Jordan Love's actually 3, but that's a small sample size. It's Allen, then Geno Smith, and Lamar after that. So again, top 5 for Lamar, even when you take out the rushing, right? So you look at just Lamar as a passer, 0.5 points per dropback, which again is based at top 5 right there. It's actually tied with Geno Smith. But when you incorporate the rushing numbers and the points per dropback, all together, right? All of the quarterback points, just dividing by the dropbacks. He's number one at 0.79. Allen's at 0.67. He's 2. Jalen Hurts is actually is number 2 there as well. So yeah, I mean, you have, I think there's like an obvious benefit to the quarterbacks that run. But just keep in mind, like, Lamar's up there in top 5 in terms of some of his passing stuff anyways, right? So just for what that's worth, when you look at Lamar's PFF grade, I think some of the stuff is a little bit, some of the uncertainty about him coming in to this season still there. 67.4. Again, that's kind of down at the position. The numbers have been down a little bit so far this season. Is just a general observation at the quarterback position, but he needs to get that up a little bit higher. Big time throw rate, 5.1, that's good. 3.3 turnover-worthy play rate, that's a little bit too high for him. So just for what that's worth, again, good as a passer in terms of fantasy production. He's actually overperforming expectations by quite a bit. He is expected for 0.43 passing points per dropback. That's 9th at the position, and he's performing at 0.50. So just for what that's worth, he's performing really well. By the way, I think an interesting part of this type of analysis is you look at some guys, in particular a guy like Trevor Lawrence. And with Trevor Lawrence, I think, you know, I was seeing some stuff. He's a top 10 quarterback through 3 weeks in the NFL. And I was like, wait, is that really what we're doing? So I actually went and I did a little research. I'm sure we're going to talk about this. I'm recording this before the Football Guy show. I'm almost certain we're going to talk about this on the Football Guy show tonight. So I've actually prepared some notes for it. When you actually look at Trevor Lawrence, started the season well, but he's actually regressed back towards his rookie season baseline. Right. Our general rule for Dynasty is you're skeptical until you prove yourself to be a capable starter over multiple seasons, right? We either look for multiple top 12s or a top six finish, right? We kind of know that when we see it. The week two performances were nice, but I had people crowning Lawrence as a top 10 guy in the league. He's been derailed by two poor performances in the past week. His turnover-worthy play rate's actually higher this year than last year. His big-time throw rate is also up a little bit, but still not at a place where you point to that and you say a franchise quarterback. One of the things I think is really interesting is when you look at his games in 22 games in the NFL, he's rushed for just under 18 yards per game. When you actually look at his yards per attempt as a passer, in two of those 22 games, he's averaged 8 or more yards per attempt. That's horrible. He has a lot more games under 5 yards per attempt than he does over 8. So I am firmly skeptical. And when you look, he hasn't taken a jump in PFF grade. Like, he hasn't taken a jump in sort of the ancillary stats. I know some of his stuff has looked pretty good. But again, his expectation is number one in terms of points per dropback, and he's not anywhere near meeting it. So just for what that's worth, I mean, if people are saying out there that he's, you know, that things are going to get better for him, like, he's got to make it better. This isn't a situation that's going to get better. The situation's excellent. Doug Peterson's a really good offensive coach. He's just not performing to his expectations yet. So that's one of the things that I would think about there. Also, I looked at some of this stuff, and I'm interested in, like, I don't know. On one hand, I think that Davis Mills is probably doomed. Like, I think that's probably, like, the conclusion that I would come to. Almost independent of what he does, they're going to draft someone. But when you actually look at him and just take out, you know, just set the minimum threshold barrier at, like, 20% of the dropbacks, he's quarterback 13 in terms of PFF passing grade. What has fallen off is any sort of big-time throws. He's basically been essentially a game manager, a very limited game manager, getting the ball out really quick at 2.39 seconds. Maybe there might be some indication there that they know something that we don't, right? That could be it, which is like, hey, we don't believe in him. We're going to sort of put the reins on him. I don't think that, right, his ADOT's down a little bit from last year, but it's not that much. It actually signals to me that he's processing significantly quicker. You look at his time to throw this year, 2.39. 2.57 was his time to throw last year. His grades are up as well. And it just hasn't really matched performance. I think some of it is the drop rate. 9.6% of his passes have been dropped. That was 3.7 last year. He's taken sacks on less percent of his pressures as well this year. So, like, all of the things are sort of pointing in a better direction. And I'm super curious to see what happens. If maybe he can play them out of, like, he kind of needs to play them out of the basement dwelling region of the position or of the draft. Like, he needs to just play so that way they're not picking at the top of the draft. I don't know if that's going to happen for him, but I'm super interested. So far through this season, you just look at the guys from last year. And again, my interest and fascination with Davis Mills is more to do with kind of the NFL lens than it is necessarily him being a big time fantasy performer too. It's worth mentioning that through what, 5 weeks, Zach Wilson only has two games started, but the rest of the guys, it's Mills with 5, Lawrence with 5, Mac Jones has 3, and Justin Fields has 5. If you evaluate those guys in terms of PFF grades, Zach Wilson number 1, Davis Mills number 2, Trevor Lawrence number 3, Mac Jones actually number 4, and Justin Fields is substantially behind at number 5. Big time throw rate, Davis Mills is the lowest. Again, I'm not entirely sure why that is, which is because, like, you just sort of measure the ADOT stuff. It's not anywhere kind of all that different from last year, but the profile of the risk and the sort of upside of the throw is just much less. So I'm curious to sort of see that. I'd probably do some deeper diving, and I would guess it might have something to do with, like, where, you know, maybe the percentage of throws are down, to, you know, anything deep. Just checking here. It's not really that, though. It's like 22%. He's ranked 22nd in terms of deep passes. Middle, medium depth, 10th. Short, 12th. Behind the line of scrimmage, 15th. You know, that's not super abnormal. It's not like they don't rank that high in terms of deep passing. Like, he ranked 20th in deep passes last year, too. So, yeah, I'm not sure entirely what's going on there. I'm curious to maybe read some more about that. There's not a clear statistical case about why this is happening. Yeah, so, all right, the brief Davis Mills detour that no one asked for is done. the big-time throw rate is actually the highest for Mac Jones, which is, of course, curious. Trevor Lawrence, second. Zach Wilson, third. Justin Fields, fourth. Right? If you were to sort of put those guys in order of which ones you would think would sort of have the big-time throw rate, you would almost do that the opposite, right? Fields, Wilson, Lawrence, Mac Jones, right? So what do we sort of know about these guys? Sometimes we can really not be good at that, right? When you actually go back and look at the turnover-worthy play stuff, that actually almost looks a little bit more like we would think of it. Fields at the highest, Zach Wilson second highest, Mac Jones third. We wouldn't think that he would be sort of in the tier with the two highest guys. We would think he'd be much more closer to Trevor Lawrence. Again, we're just typecasting here, but I think that that's some interesting stuff there. Fields sacked on 29% of his dropbacks. That's just not, yeah, that's just not good. 15% actually for Zach Wilson. So again, if we look at some of his progression here, that is actually better. He was sacked on 26.3% of his dropbacks last year. He is, I'll say this, I think one of the things that really, something clicked for me in the offseason, I heard it said, and I just started looking at it, and I think it's worth noting here with him. Last year, he had an 8 out of 8, which isn't very high, right? You're not throwing the ball that far down the field. But his time to throw was over 3 seconds, which when you look at that, you're like, all right, like that shouldn't be, right? If you're hanging on a throw that long, right? If you're in the top five of basically time that you're holding on to the ball, your ADOT should be deeper. And what he was instead doing was taking forever to basically throw it short, struggling to process those sorts of things. He has held on to the ball a little bit longer this year at 3.09 seconds to throw. So again, up 0.04 of a second, not terribly big. The difference in the ADOT's market, it's 9.6. So what are we seeing here? More down the field, right? More aggressive in terms of his throwing and probably processing a little bit better, right? Cut the sack rate way down. The turnover-worthy play stuff is a concern, right? That's actually up from 3.8% to 5.8%. But again, it's a small sample, and some of that stuff can be a little bit fluky. He was kind of doing some come-from-behind stuff and that, so I'm not super, super concerned about it. I think overall he's taken a big jump, over 8 yards per attempt, right? He's doing a lot of he's doing things I think that are better, right? He has, I think, improved with the caveat of the turnover-worthy plays are still up a little bit. So that would, I think, be my big, you know, if I'm going to pick nits, that would sort of be what I would say about that. So so that's really where he's at so far. On the season, again, I'm optimistic about him. And again, the thing I'm optimistic about Zach Wilson is the supporting cast is one that, you know, if things get really right and he sort of takes a step, he can sort of elevate, right? You almost look at it in the way of like a Burrow, right? Where if Burrow took this big step and he took it and had the weapons to amplify it, right? I really think the Jets is that sort of situation for him. So that's good. Again, the exact opposite is the case for Justin Fields. So that's the stuff there. Again, some other stuff here, just sort of big picture looking at these guys, the overall at the position. Some of the other passing grade stuff. Jalen Hurts is down a little bit relative. He was up, I think, at the top of the position through a couple of weeks. He's third now. Andy Dalton's actually fourth. Again, that's not that many dropbacks. It's only 56 dropbacks to like 210 for Patrick Mahomes, so about a quarter of the dropbacks there. But the big-time throw rate's pretty good at 5.4. He's turning the ball over a little bit too much would be the rate stuff for him there. But 9.7 ADOT for Andy Dalton, that is good for Sixth behind Jameis, who's always near the top. Mac Jones, Marcus Mariota, Mitchell Trubisky, Lamar Jackson. So way up there at the position. Right after them, Zach Wilson, Justin Fields. So that's interesting as well. Some thoughts about Russell Wilson. I know that people have asked and sort of discussed this. I refuse to believe that Russell Wilson at 34 years old is falling off a cliff. That just isn't historically what happens. I think if Russell Wilson decided, you know what, screw this, I'm done, and retired tomorrow, he'd be a first ballot Hall of Famer. I struggle to see how that just falls off a cliff like this, right? I just don't think that that's true. So that's sort of my thought. Again, if you want to sort of like look at this and sort of squint and say, all right, like what's the, you know, all right, he wanted to sort of run around and do all this stuff, and now maybe he has some limited athleticism, right? I've heard that as an argument. I think there's a couple of things you can go back and look at, right? You can actually go back and look last year, for example, and we could sort of break last year up into sort of the pre-injury and post-injury stuff, but last year, a very similar time to throw. I had a 2.78 seconds to throw last year. This year is 2.74. So again, that's a similar type of profile. He had an ADOT of 10.2 last year to 9.4 this year. So again, that's a little bit different. The ADOT this year is shorter than his career average, which is 9.7. But again, I don't think it's anything sort of extreme. He's basically been in the mid tens to like the low nines, right? Basically between 9.0 and 10.5. That's basically the range in which he has lived his career. So again, this isn't abnormal, right? It's probably actually, as I'm sort of looking at it, it might be the median number this year. So we're really close to it. And in terms of ADOT. Yeah, it's one below the median. So again, it's not an extreme in any way. The time to throw is the second lowest of his career. 2016 was actually his lowest at 2.65, which again, by NFL standards, is actually not that quick. His career average is 3.01, which again is not quick, right? That is on the slower time to throws in the league. So when you look at him, right, I actually think it's not that different than that 2016 season. 2016 PFF grade north of 80, 7.7 yards per attempt. This year he's at 7.4. You know, his big time throw rate was a little bit higher that year, so that was 6.4. This is at 3.8. So again, but I think that there's still a lot of that opportunity there for him to potentially produce from that, you know, from. That type of a little bit quicker profile, if you will, right? How does he do? You know, is the him aging going to make it so that he can't play, you know, his run around and sort of scramble and sort of be all those things game? Like, that's not really how he profiled back in the day. And again, he was a fantasy starter when that happened as well. So we do have similar seasons to him. And again, I don't think it's anything that sort of rules him out of being good. So, and again, that was like one of his above average grades in terms of PFF throwing. It was, you know, right in line with his big time throw rate in his career and stuff. So I don't think that profile of Ross is a bad one. Last year, you look, it's better than this one, but worse than his sort of his quickest season to throw. So, again, I think, right, if you could sort of do this with anyone, right? It's his first. Let's just take us for a second. Just sort of put us in a different context, right? If you change jobs, right, how effective are you right off the bat, right? Like, I don't know. Like, you always have supervisors in your office, you know, asking you how you're doing, or, you know, you're not getting everything on your plate, right? And if you also go into a spot that has a new boss, right, things might not be like, you know, I've had bosses that have been there for a while and can't find, you know, their backsides from a hole in the ground. You put them with maybe Nate Hackett's not the best guy to be leading a team, and you put, you know, you're also changing and putting in another quarterback in that, and, you know, no one can find the light switch, which kind of feels like what's going on in Denver right now. So again, what do you want to bet on? 5 games or a history of Russell Wilson's career dating back to 2012, right? That's going to make him a first ballot Hall of Famer. Which one of those two bets do you want to make? Give me the bet of his career. Give me that bet that he'll figure it out, that things will get worked out, and that he'll sort of, that things will get better, right? Because I think by any reasonable standard, right, like any reasonable expectation would be you have to think it's going to get better based on what you know about him and sort of what we know just about trajectory of players and coaches, okay? So, but again, he's up there in historically in our metrics, right, in our metrics of passing expectation in terms of points per dropback, all of those things. Like, he's really good historically at that. He's a top 3 to 5 guy since this in the PFF era, right? He's very elite. He's 27th right now, okay? He's expected for 13th again, and this is a guy that consistently outperforms expectation. So I think he's going to probably come back to that. You also look, I don't think, I'm not a big drops guy, but when you start adding them up, and again, I haven't done all this, but I could sort of, and I'm not going to sort of cherry pick any of this, but he has 13 drops so far in the season, 11.4% of his attempts. That's a huge number, and that's actually the highest of his career by about 3%. So that's a lot of drops. When you actually look at it, when you look at him on the season here, he leads the league. He leads the league ahead of Wilson, ahead of Lawrence, right? Leads the league. Right? Those are the next two guys. So the drop rate's really high, and I think that's one where how do you make a quick fix? Well, guys actually catch the ball, right? And things get a little bit better. Right? You sort of do those things, and all of a sudden, like, everything feels a lot better. So that would sort of be the big thing that I would say about this. I am not super concerned with him. I think he's going to bounce back and be, and be the Russell Wilson. I think now is a classic buy time. I was asked what you do about Kenny Pickett. And I think Kenny Pickett's one of the guys, like, this is the reason why you have Kenny Pickett. Why do you take a quarterback in a rookie draft? Well, you take a quarterback in a rookie draft because you're trying to solve a long-term problem at quarterback. But we know that having a rookie quarterback is a horrible bet to fix the long-term problem. At some point, I want to do a expose on the 2021 rookie class. Like, we're gonna have some fun with this and do just a rundown of this great class. We're gonna have some fun with it. But I think that's an instructive example, right? It was such a good rookie class in terms of the quarterbacks that where are we, right? None of them are on a success track. None of them. Maybe Mac Jones. I don't know, depending on how you want to look at it. But, like, none of them have put themselves into being an elite player. What do we use quarterbacks for? Right? We take quarterbacks because we want to be able to fix the position. How do you fix the position? You trade a lotto ticket, you trade a hope and a prayer for a good quarterback, right? You use Pickett as the ability to pivot up at the position, right? That's something I think that consistently is a gettable thing to do in Dynasty. And people didn't even like Kenny Pickett, but all of a sudden you have some real optimism about him coming. He's sitting on the bench, and before he even makes a start, it's, oh, we're turning the page to Kenny Pickett. Like, all right, he's probably a lesser version of Mitchell Trubisky if we want to sort of plot it out, but that's sort of the optimism that people have. So, again, you could sell, it's like the easiest thing in the world. You can sell young quarterback production at a premium in a way that just is the definition of insanity, of just doing the same thing over and over again. And that's kind of it. But for what it's worth, Pickett does have a better PFF grade than Trevor Lawrence. Again, that's only through 72 dropbacks. It's about a third of the dropbacks of Trevor Lawrence. So those are the big things there that I wanted to sort of hit. We'll also look at some other stuff here. I'm just sort of doing a data dive here, really, of some stuff. Guys versus expectation here. Matthew Stafford, in terms of points per dropback, 33rd. That's just the passing metric, right? Passing points per dropback, 33rd. His expectation is 18th. So, again, that's not good for Rams by Rams standards either. But he's underperforming it. So again, I think there's lots of room to improve. Russell Wilson, again, 13th. He's performing 27th. So either of those two guys, I'm interested in sort of buying low. Carr, by the way, is 5th in expected points per dropback at 0.46. He's at 0.39. I'm interested in buying that Raiders offense. So Devontae Adams is going to be a post-Football Guys acquisition target for me. Right after I do my show tonight, gonna roll up to the computer and do some trading, and that's going to be one of the things I potentially look at. Burrow, by the way, 16th in expected points per dropback, 19th in passing points per dropback. So for what that's worth, if we're looking for elite ceilings, he hasn't quite done that yet. Mahomes is 2nd in both, so he's done it. Tua, elite. He is 1st in points per dropback, 4th in expected points per dropback. So he has been excellent so far. Jalen Hurts is 22nd in points per drop back, in terms of passing points per drop back, just over expectation there. When you add in the rushing stuff, he's 2nd overall in terms of points per drop back. So yeah, that's the stuff there. I'll take you through some quick stuff here as well with let's look at some of the things that we know are performance enhancing or performance, you know, key performance indicators in terms of stuff that's going to elevate us. And one of those is throws in the medium range, right? 10 to 19 yards down the line of scrimmage, right? 10 to 19 yards down the field. Number one, Atlanta. Number two, New Orleans. Number three is Indy, which is interesting. Number four, Cleveland. And number five is Miami. On the bad side of those, right, where are teams doing it pretty poorly? Well, 32nd, Green Bay. It's interesting. 31st is actually Washington. 30th is Baltimore. 29th is the Chargers. And 28th is Arizona. So Arizona doing a ton of the stuff behind the line of scrimmage and being below the median at both short, medium, and deep throws there. So those are some thoughts there. Again, your deep balls. Who's throwing the deep balls at the highest rate? We have Chicago's actually number one. Justin Fields just basically chucking it. He's essentially not doing anything between 0 and 19 yards down the line of scrimmage. He's essentially doing nothing there. It's 31st and 23rd, but he's 2nd in passes behind the line of scrimmage and 1st in passes deep down the field. So very bimodal in terms of his distribution there. So he's one. Number two is Pittsburgh, actually. So we'll see how that goes with Trubisky. Number three is New England. So Mac Jones chucking it down the field. Four is Denver. And then number five in terms of deep throwing is actually Baltimore. 6 is Atlanta. So Atlanta, really, I mean, medium and deep throws. A lot of stuff vertical, right? Vertical stuff down the field. That's some good stuff there in terms of both when we get Pitts and when you get Pitts and London ready to go, it's some good stuff there overall. When you look at the some of the rate stuff here as well, who's sort of high on the production list in terms of play action, right? Where do your play, who ranks highest in play action? Atlanta, number one, basically 48%. That's a huge number. The Giants, just short of 38% there for the Giants, are 2nd. 3rd is Miami. 4th is actually Baltimore. And then 5th in terms of that play action stuff is actually Philly. That's a little bit complicated by some of the RPO stuff, by the way, in terms of how that's graded. But so for what that's worth, those can be a little wonky. So just for what that's worth, Tennessee's actually 6th. Tannehill's crushing it on play action. He's 105% above his non-play action. So basically more than double it, which is the best in the league in terms of his performance. Notably, some people caught on to this and picked up on a deep ball play action shot from Derek Carr. So from Derek Carr last year, remember, going back a couple years, he's been a horrendous play action thrower. done it at a really low rate, done it really poorly relative to his how good he is as a pocket passer. It was one of those weird things of like, hey, if he could ever do this, he could actually elevate himself. How's he done this year? Only 15% of his throws. That's good for 30th. So again, that's not great, but it's better than being worst, I guess. And actually, he's been really good at it. 47% above expectation, 47% above what he's doing on non-play action stuff at 9.5 yards per attempt. Dial it up. Deep balls all around. Davante Adams, heck, Hunter Renfro, Mac Hollins, throw some deep shots. Derek Carr doing it pretty well off play action so far. Let's get this thing going. And Josh Jacobs is crushing it, so it's all the more convincing. You know, it's, you gotta lean right into that. That's being successful there. Maybe Derek Carr, like 8 years into his career, turning a new leaf in terms of his play action tendencies. So those are really the big things there. Design pass rate. Buffalo number one, 75%, just absurd. Washington number two at 72.2%. By the way, if you believe that Ron Rivera has like this, concern or is a Wentz skeptic, I guess would be the way I would describe it. If you believe that, hey, maybe they run the ball a little bit more. What has changed? Well, I'll tell you what's changed. They've got a new running back by the name of Brian Robinson coming in. So that would be one that I would definitely, I'm interested to see how that changes if that number comes down and they try and feed Brian Robinson a little bit more. Third is the Rams at 70%. Again, with I looked at some Higbee stuff. Go ahead and check out my Twitter feed. I did like a thread of stuff. But Higbee, I actually don't think he's going to go down. Like, people are like, oh, he's going to regress. I don't think that's true. I think he's actually got more ceiling there as well. And they're just chucking the ball around. Their offense is pretty limited, right? So Stafford's throwing it a lot and basically has a couple of guys to throw it to. So I'll be interested to see how they can diversify a little bit, but just chucking it a ton. Fourth is Arizona. Fifth is actually the Jets. On the other side, 32 in terms of design dropback rate is San Francisco at 51%. Atlanta at 52% is 31st. 30th is Cleveland at 53%, and then at the 29th best is Chicago at 53%. That number came up a lot this past week. They actually decided to, hey, let's actually throw the ball. So that was notable. And Tennessee, again, bottom five in terms of design pass rates, no surprise with them. They are at just under 54% design pass rate. They rank bottom five in the league. They play slow, by the way, 32nd in terms of seconds per play as well. Ton of stuff in the short passing game and not much else. Deep, super consolidated in that range. So there's some stuff there. Just the hodgepodge of quarterback stuff. I hope that helps you sort of process this. And as we go along, we'll do some more stuff in terms of guys meeting benchmarks and all that stuff. Maybe we'll do that. I like to do the rookies and the young guys like once every 4 weeks or so. Just give us an idea of maybe update and we can sort of see it. So probably around around mid-November or so, we'll be talking more specifically on some of the young guys and see sort of what their arc is at. So that'll do it for this edition. All right. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.